Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. Awesome. Great. I have to repeat what you say so that people online hear it. Well, isn't it just a question of what the weather's going to be like every time we come to church? Looking on the weather app prior to today, it seemed sunny, warm, not too warm, just in that sweet spot that you want, like Hawaii. So I came to church this morning expecting Hawaii, but I didn't get that this morning. Anyways, well, glad to be hanging out with everybody who's here, and also those of you who are online, glad we're worshiping together and studying God's word together as well. Let's pray and then get into the word. Father, thank you for your blessings upon us, your provision to us. Thank you for meeting us this morning to speak to us and to listen and accept our worship and our praise of you and how great you are and the influence you have on our lives and how you have saved our souls. So this morning, Lord, we want to set our own pride aside, set our own doubts aside. Just open our minds and our hearts to listen to your voice and listen to your guidance and listen to your encouragement and find joy in what you have for us this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today we're in Daniel chapter 10. You can turn to Daniel 10 in your Bibles. The title of our study is One Like a Man. One Like a Man. Which will make more sense at the end of the study than it does at the beginning of the study. My college roommate started dating a nice young woman recently. He lives in Colorado. And so we were close in college. We lived together for 4 years and hung out a lot. And so a lot of good times, and we've been close. He was in my wedding. So, of course, we wanted to meet this girl that he started dating. And so we did a Zoom call or a FaceTime call this past week and got to meet her, Morgan and I, and my buddy and his new girlfriend. And the one question that she kept asking me on the call was, tell me the dirt about your friend. Like, tell me, you know, all the embarrassing stories, and just tell me the worst stuff that you know about him. And which I thought was funny that was like the main thing she wanted to talk to me about. And after the call, Morgan pointed out that if you're just starting to get to know someone early on in a relationship, you want to hear this context to who this person is that you're getting to know, and you know who they are now, or you're getting to know who they are now, but you want to learn their history and where they've come from and who they've interacted with. And so it's important, I guess, to hear the bad context or the things that they've done in the past. And it was a fun conversation to just get to know her and stuff like that. But this morning in Daniel chapter 10, we have a series of introductions ourselves, very different introductions than the FaceTime call that I had with my buddy this week. But here, we're going to start the chapter in Daniel chapter 10 with the context of where Daniel's at this time in the first four verses. And then we're going to end the chapter with some spiritual context that is otherwise unseen. So the Daniel context is something that him and the people around him have seen and he's participating in. And so it's more of it's like a historical account. And then the end of the chapter is the spiritual background to what's happening in that context at the beginning. The reason why this matters is because it's all pointing to the middle of the chapter. And in verses 5 through 9, we're going to see God's greatness revealed. And in verses 10 through 19, we're going to see God gift us in Daniel strength. So this greater context of what's going on in Daniel's life, what's going on in the spiritual side of things, all pointing towards God's greatness and God gifting strength. So the first half of our study is going to be introducing a certain man, is the title that is used in the chapter. Let's read verses 1 through 4. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. So here is the Daniel setting, or Daniel's context, specifically the first set of context for the chapter. In verse 1, we begin with it written in the third person. Daniel's writing this in the third person. Once again, we've seen this before in the book of Daniel. Daniel starting out a particular chapter, writing in the third person, then switching to the first person immediately after. And the reason why he does this is to highlight the historical accuracy. This is going to be very important for us later in the chapter. But we know throughout the book, throughout the whole book of Daniel, and particularly this chapter, we're highlighting that this is a historically accurate account. So Daniel starts in the third person to stress that, and then switches over to the first person in verse 2. In verse 2 and 3, Daniel is mourning for 3 whole weeks. He ate no food, no good food at least. He ate food, but no good food. And he didn't drink wine, and he didn't eat any meat. He also didn't anoint himself. Here we go again, Daniel with these diets. Just sounds like something I definitely do not want to do. Eat no good food or meat for 3 weeks. But Daniel's on this morning fasting and anointing himself, or fasting from anointing himself rather, for 3 whole weeks. There's no full insight in these verses into why Daniel's mourning. It could be because of Israel's suffering, the suffering of his people. It could be because Jerusalem, who the nation of Judah, which is the southern nation of Israel, the nation of Judah is now allowed to go back to the promised land, but haven't started rebuilding their city of Jerusalem yet, or haven't gotten very far. So Daniel might be mourning how slow that is going. And Daniel might be mourning not returning to Jerusalem himself, because he seems to, or he's obviously still in Babylon, not in Jerusalem. So any one of these things he could be mourning. Daniel is fasting through the Passover celebration, which you might recognize as an extremely important celebration. He's fasting through this Passover celebration while the temple is still in ruins. So you can't make any sacrifices, and those sacrifices are on hold. And you can't make that pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate because the temple's not there, and because Daniel isn't able to make that journey. Apparently, when Cyrus allowed Judah to go back to Jerusalem in 538 BC, apparently Daniel didn't go back with them. It's possible that he was too old at this point to make that journey. He's probably around 85 years old, maybe a little bit older, give or take. So it's possible that he's too old to make that long journey and the harshness of that back to Jerusalem. It's also possible that Daniel's still a leader in Babylon, has responsibilities that he feels like he should continue to attend to. So Daniel doesn't get to return to the promised land with the rest of this nation of Judah. The timeline here we see in verse 4 is the 24th day of the month. The equivalent to that on our calendar is April 23rd, probably in the year 536 BC, although it could be 535 BC, depending on the way you read it. But assuming it's in 536 BC, April 23rd, the location's at the Tigris River. So this is potentially a few weeks before the rebuilding of the temple began. This rebuilding recorded in the book of Ezra, specifically Ezra chapter 3, when this rebuilding started. The location Daniel's a little bit away from, a little bit east of Babylon. So he might be on some sort of an assignment. He's with a group of people, so he might have had some responsibilities that he was attending to on behalf of Babylon slash Persia. Of course, Babylon, the city, is under Persian rule at this point. So last week we kind of caught up with the timeline. A few weeks ago we went back in time in Daniel, and now we've kind of caught up. So now we're back in the future, learning new information here. So that's all of that is just the context, just the setting of where we're at when we walk into the text today. And remember, the setting at the beginning of what Daniel's doing, the setting at the end of the spiritual side of things, and those contexts pointing us to the main point, which we're about to get into, God's greatness and God gifting strength. So let's read in verses 5 through 9. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. I wish I could have made that a multitude. Voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Here is a certain man's appearance, focusing on God's greatness. In verse 5 through 6, here is a certain man. He's clothed in linen. Think of white clothing. He's clothed in linen. He has a gold belt on. His body's beryl, or a precious yellow gem color. So like shiny type color. His face was as bright as lightning, just shining face. His eyes were like fire in them. He had bronze limbs, and he had a voice
of a multitude.
I can't sound like a multitude. I tried. There should be some sort of reverb on the mic that we can just add in extra voices to. All right, the voice was like a voice of a multitude. So who is this certain man is a good question to ask. Is this certain man Jesus? Is this certain man Gabriel, the angel that we've seen in the last couple chapters, or is it some other sort of angel, angelic figure? What we're going to identify this certain man as is Jesus. And the reason why we identify this as Jesus is because of the description. The description in these verses matches very, very closely with descriptions of God in Ezekiel chapter 1 and descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation. So when we match up this description in Daniel of a certain man with a description of God in Ezekiel, with a description of Jesus in Revelation, those descriptions side by side are extremely similar. And so then we can identify this being, a certain man, as Jesus. If you want to see that listed out in the extended notes on the website, if you go to our notes on the website, our live page or our message notes, the extended notes that are there, there's a side-by-side comparison in those notes for today that you can see all the things that are the same between those descriptions. So we're going to identify this as Jesus. Daniel in verse 7 was the only one to see the vision out of all the people that were with him, out of his group. The rest of them, though, felt something was different and hid in terror. There's something that was moving to them and scared them and moved them to run away, flee, hide, afraid. Daniel being the only one to actually see the vision itself. In verse 8, the vision took Daniel's strength away, and this certain man's words put Daniel to sleep face down. Again, this is a very common reaction that we see in the book of Daniel, and we see throughout Scripture, especially the Old Testament, but the New Testament as well, of God's power being revealed and humans having this sort of reaction, being very taken back, falling forward, hiding their face. You see this common common reaction through Scripture. It reminds me, there's a running joke through the Ocean's 13 movie. Have you seen the Ocean's movies? So there's a trilogy of Ocean's movies that were came out a while back. In Ocean's 13, the last one, there's a running joke about the brotherhood between guys who have shook Frank Sinatra's hand. And so the whole plot of the movie is based on one businessman making a deal with another businessman and trusting that businessman because they both shook Sinatra's hand. And then the second businessman ends up stabbing him in the back. And so it's this whole revenge plot because he trusted him because it was, you know, you're supposed to have some sort of a brotherhood, I guess, if you shake Frank Sinatra's hand. I've never shaken Sinatra's hand, so I wouldn't know. Maybe some of you have. Unlike the failure of Sinatra's hand to bind people together, God's greatness affects people in ways that they don't even understand. And this applies to Christians and non-Christians, to anybody. God's greatness affects people in ways that they don't even understand. Furthermore, our experience of God's greatness is overwhelming to us, our interaction with the Lord. We spoke last week about seeking the Lord through his word and through prayer. And apart from that conversation, apart from that dialogue that we have with the Lord, which is obviously very impactful, where we speak to him in prayer, we listen to him in prayer, we listen to him through his word, we ask him questions, we try to figure out what he's saying. Through that dialogue, other than that, just the experience of God himself, apart from all of that conversation with the Lord, just the experience of God himself makes a lasting impact on us. Through who he is, being with God changes us. Makes us new, makes us restored, and just overwhelms us. Changes lives. Not to mention that the consequence, you know, results in this brotherhood and sisterhood that we share with one another, all stemming from being with the Lord. So not only is this a common reaction to God and God's power in Scripture, but also we experience this overwhelming reaction with the Lord as well. So that brings us to the second half of our study, focusing on the interaction with one like a man. Let's read in verses 10 through 19. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, Fear, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me. I have retained no strength, for how can the servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. So here we see one like a man's strength. Again, this is the focus of the chapter. These in the last few verses we read, we just focused on God's greatness, his appearance there. Now we're focusing on the strength that God provides. In verse 10, a man's hand, or so it says, touched Daniel, causing Daniel to tremble on his hands and knees. The man that's attached to the hand tells Daniel to stand, for he had been sent to speak and give understanding to Daniel. So once again, we ask, who is this man who's attached to the hand? Is this man the same being as the certain man of verse 5, who we identified as Jesus? We would say that this is a different person than the being of verse 5. We say that because, again, we're zeroing in back onto the description. The description of the certain man had an appearance that was attributed to God, and just by being in the presence of this certain man of verse 5, just by being in the presence of who we've identified as Jesus, Daniel loses his strength and sleeps. This man who's attached to the hand here in verse 10 appears to be a warrior angel. So this man, he's been sent instead of showing up. He was sent by someone. Theoretically, Jesus wouldn't be sending himself. This man here in verse 10 talks about God. Theoretically, Jesus wouldn't be talking about himself in the third person. And this man here in verse 10 also needed the help of Michael, the angel, in order to overcome spiritual attacks. And theoretically, Jesus wouldn't need the help of an angel to assist him. On the other hand, Daniel does lose strength here, just like he lost strength in verse 5. However, here he's losing strength because of the message that is spoken. This being, this angel, is speaking words, and the content of those words, the message that's being spoken, is what is causing Daniel to lose strength, rather than in verse 5, the existence of the being and just the sound of the multitude of his voice is the thing that caused Daniel to lose or fall down and fall asleep and lose strength. So this man in verse 10 appears to be a warrior angel, maybe Gabriel, the angel Gabriel that we saw in previous chapters, but it's not named, this being. So we're just going to call this being one like a man. In verse 12, this man, this being, this angel, tells Daniel to not fear. He came to give Daniel understanding. And this is the beginning of a vision. You think of these last three chapters, chapter 10, 11, and 12 of the book of Daniel. Think of them as a unit. Chapter 10 is like the intro to this vision. Chapter 11 is the main substance of the vision. And chapter 12 is like the conclusion of the vision. So he, this man, is coming to help give Daniel understanding and walk him through this vision. He came, this man was sent and came because Daniel humbled himself before God. That is the reasoning that is given in verse 12. And this is the approach, this is the posture that we take when we're coming to the book of Daniel. We've talked about this before in previous weeks. When we come to the book of Daniel, when we come to end times prophecy, we're coming with this posture of humility and seeking the Lord for understanding. A position of humility and seeking the Lord, this is the heart that the Lord responds to. The Lord responds to our humility in seeking to understand him. So we're sharing this heart with Daniel as we come before the Lord this morning. And we're going to skip over verse 13 for just a second, get back to it at the end of the study. Verse 14, the man comes to help Daniel understand what will happen to Israel specifically in the future. This is his nation, Daniel's nation of Israel. Daniel becomes speechless again because of the words, showing the impact of this encounter and the impact of God's response. Daniel's here fasting and praying for 3 weeks and eating terrible food and not anointing himself, not showering, which, by the way, I was thinking that maybe when I'm sad, I could just stop showering for a couple weeks. And I thought my wife would appreciate that. So, so Daniel is, he's fasting and praying, and God's response to him is this vision, and he's left speechless here. One like the sons of men in verse 16 touches Daniel's lips after he becomes speechless. And the touch to Daniel's lips was able to get him. He had the ability to speak his feelings after that touch. And of course, the angel must have washed his hands first to not spread COVID to Daniel. But he touched Daniel on the lips. Don't try this at home, folks. So the question lies here. We have another description here. Remember in verse 5, the description was a certain man. In verse 10, the description was a hand and a man attached to that hand. In verse 16, here's another description, one like the sons of men, or one like a man. Another description. So who is this person in verse 16? If this can't get more confusing. Is this the certain man of verse 5? Or is this the man's hand of verse 10? Or is this a brand new being? Do we have another third character coming into play? What we would say is we would identify this person as the same person as verse 10. And the same reason why, based on the description. The description matches the man from the man's hand in verse 10. They have the same touch. They both touch Daniel to strengthen him. They are having the same conversation. They're talking about the same things. The dialogue continues throughout all of these verses. The message of this being is the same message that is being spoken by the being in verse 10, and they are fighting the same battle. The man of verse 10 fights the same battle in verse 13 as the man of verse 16 fights later on in the chapter. So we can identify this being the same man. So just to summarize, we have Daniel. He's one of our characters. We know him. We have the being a certain man of verse 5, which we've identified as Jesus. And all we get from this being is the way he looks and the way that Daniel is overwhelmed by him. And then we have one like a man, which is an angel in verses 10 forward. And this is the angel that's sent to Daniel as a response to his prayers so that he can interact with Daniel and describe the vision and help walk him through the vision. So three characters total. One of them's Daniel. One of them's Jesus. One of them's an angel. All that make sense? Awesome. So speaking of Daniel needing help communicating his feelings, I remember dating Morgan and being engaged to Morgan, and this was probably like our number one thing that we had to work through in the early parts of our relationship dating, is how to communicate our feelings to each other in a constructive way, when to say things, when not to say things, or how to frame our conversation. I just remember talking for hours and hours about how to talk. And diagramming on a whiteboard the theories of how we should talk to one another. She's a psych major, so you know, had to deal with all of that. And so trying to figure out how to communicate with one another. And of course, if that happens in our relationships, of course we're going to have communication issues with our relationship with the Lord as well, from our end, not from God's end. Just as this angel touches Daniel to help Daniel speak his feelings, God gives us the words to speak when we're in prayer with him, the words to communicate our feelings in prayer. And the New Testament promises this by the help of the Holy Spirit. Daniel's feelings here are of the sorrows of the vision overwhelming him, taking his strength. His love for his own people motivated his empathetic response to God. So this morning, I guess just as an exercise, I just want to think after service today, some point right after service or when you get home or whenever today, I think we should all just take a moment to have a moment in prayer with the Lord in this topic, in this context, where we're praying for the Lord to touch our lips through the Holy Spirit, open up our feelings to him and our thoughts to him, and just kind of dialogue with God on that subject. And see how the